Why don't you have a seat? Well, hey again, good morning. We're so glad that you're here this morning. Want to remind you, if you are a youth in fifth or sixth grade, we have a special class. You guys are already making your way out, which is awesome. We have a point youth class for you guys every Sunday morning, kind of after our beginning worship set. So Jan is leading that today. So you guys did great heading out, and they're gone, and I'm still talking. So hey, happens a lot, doesn't it? So hey, we are super excited because we are in the midst of this message series looking at the wilderness. You know, the wilderness is something that every single one of us faces. Whether it's because of the decisions that we make that kind of estranges us or pushes us out in this place of difficulty and distraction and the unknown, or whether it's the decisions of other people that have pushed us into the wilderness. The wilderness experience happens with the natural flow of life. You know, as we get older, you know, as our kids move throughout their years in school, some of those can be pretty big wilderness experiences where we feel all alone, where we just life is tough. Sometimes when we get older, kind of that middle age, empty nesting time when our kids leave the house and we got to figure out how to do relationships again because now the house doesn't revolve around the kids. I can imagine what a wilderness that might be. I have so long before I get to that place. Or, you know, retirement. You know, sometimes, you know, you reach this place where when you leave your job, what does that look like? And how do you define yourself? And how do you find things to do? And so we find with a lot of folks, they move into the wilderness when they enter those retirement years. Again, there's a lot of reasons that we enter the wilderness. And it's important, I think, for us to think about this idea of the wilderness because we are in a season of the year in the church that we call Lent. It is a season in between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. It's a season when, throughout the history of the church, we have been called to examine our faith, to look at our relationship with Jesus, to figure out what are those things that we need to give up or what are those things that we need to add to just strengthen and deepen our relationship with Jesus. And so as I was preparing, thinking about Easter this year, I thought, you know, I think that just knowing the stories of so many of us, it seems like throughout our church or throughout the connections that we have with our church, with family and friends and networks, that a lot of us are going through or have gone through just seasons of wilderness lately. And so, as I was working on this message, I thought, this is really what God wants us to talk about. That how do we both navigate this idea of the wilderness, but of course we got to understand what it is first, right? So we got to figure out what the wilderness is, and then how do we navigate the wilderness experience so that we can come out on the other side of the wilderness, because ultimately we will come out on the other side of the wilderness, but how do we come out stronger in our relationship with Jesus? How do we come out with a deeper faith and not let the wilderness experience pull us down and devastate us? And so as we think about this whole idea of the wilderness, over the last few weeks, I have given you a definition of the wilderness. And for some of you, you may think, wow, that's a pretty drastic kind of definition, and that might not describe where your wilderness is, but in some degree, I think it really does describe what the wilderness looks like for us. Because again, we all face it. It can come through disease. It can come through disaster. It can come through so many different things. And I think that God has really provided us with some amazing answers and some amazing tools to come out on the other side of the wilderness. But what is the wilderness? So just to review the definition for us, the wilderness is a time in a person's life where his or her soul just feels parched and dry. We've all been there, right? Where you just go through a season where you're just like, I'm just dry. I'm not super excited about anything, and I might not even be really down about anything, but I just feel dry. I just feel like things are just there. It might be a season when life is really hard, where you feel like you take one step forward and you're going four steps back, where you feel like every day is a new obstacle, where you feel like every time you go into work, you're like, you're praying that it'll get better, and it's just hard. Or you're praying that your kids will make better choices, and they just don't. Or you pray that the thing that you have been praying about for a long time would really change and it hasn't changed yet. So it's just a season when life is hard. It might be a time when the future seems barren. You can't even focus in on the future because you're trying to just take one step at a time. And so the idea of thinking out in the future and what does the future look like, it's barren because you're not even there. You're like, you're stuck. And just the idea of seeing the promised land, seeing the place where it's going to be great. Throughout this series, we've been looking at the life of Moses. Can you imagine what the wilderness must have been like for those Israelites? 40 years they wandered through the wilderness. Can you imagine how many times Moses heard the slogan, "Are we there yet?" Because it was a long time. And so for them, seeing the future was really difficult. It's a time when, as far as you can see, there's just nothing but devastation. Where it's just like, this went wrong, and this went wrong, and this went wrong, and this went... You want me to see the good things? It's hard because this is going wrong, and this is going wrong, and this is going wrong. And you just see devastation everywhere you go. And you begin to wonder, is there any way out? You just think, God, when are the clouds going to part and the angels going to sing? And when is it just going to get better? And it may be a time when you even feel the absence of God's presence. That's why over the last few weeks, and we're going to talk about it in greater depth today, about what happens when we don't feel the presence of God. Because we all go through those seasons where you just think, God, I'm not feeling you. God, I'm not feeling like you're in it with me. God, I'm not feeling like there's an answer that's coming. Because we all have those times where we just don't feel it. So we're going to talk about that today. But I believe with all my heart that the wilderness can be a time that God can prepare us for blessing and battle. Kind of the two opposite extremes, right? I think there are times that God has these blessings for us, but he wants us to understand where those blessings came from. And so sometimes the things that just happen in our life set us up or prepare us to really understand how great that blessing is. Sometimes it's preparing us for a battle, that things are going to get tough. We all have those times in our life, right, where you see it's about to click, and you're like, it's going to get tough. We think it's tough right now, but it's going to get worse. And so the wilderness is that time that I believe that God can prepare us for the battle ahead. Because sometimes the wilderness experience that we're feeling right now, when we go into the next wilderness experience or the next wilderness experience or the next wilderness experience, each one of those prior wilderness experiences have prepared us greater and greater and greater for the big challenge that lies ahead of us. And so the idea that we are talking about throughout this series is that I believe that God desperately wants to say to us, don't waste your wilderness. Don't waste the wilderness. Don't be the complainer. Don't be the griper. Don't be the one who just like gives in and gives up thinking it's never going to get any better. Don't waste that experience. We got to figure out, where is God in the midst of this, and how do we come out on the other side of our relationship with God, on the other side of the wilderness, stronger? Because Jesus said, in this life, you will have difficulty. So he has never promised us, even when we come to faith in Jesus, he has never promised us in this world that it's going to be a piece of cake. As a matter of fact, he's set us up in preparation, knowing that in this life, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems with our kids. We're going to have problems at our jobs. We're going to have problems with our family. We're going to have problems with our aging parents. We're going to have problems with the decisions that people make that affect us. We are going to have difficulty. And so as believers in Christ, what do we do with that? How do we both struggle with that, and how do we walk through that so that we do come out on the other side stronger in our relationship with God and our relationship with others? And that, last week we talked about that life according to the Bible is all about relationships. Last week we talked about walking through the wilderness with others. See, because God has so chosen to build this planet, to wire us, to create us with this absolute need and dependence on relationships. That we have been designed from the DNA level, we have been designed to be in relationship with others and with God. And there's no getting around it. And I believe with all my heart that often our wilderness experiences get jacked up higher than what they are, because we too often even knowing that we were created to be in relationship with others, we back off. And so what I proposed to you last week when we talked about walking with others in the wilderness is that we've got to lean in to the relationships that God has established in our life. We got to lean into these places that God has brought us into family, the church. The church is called the family of God. We are called the body of Christ. We're called the bride of Christ. It's all about relationships. And so when we're walking through the wilderness, as I talked about last week, is that if there's anything we shouldn't do is lean back. What we should do is lean forward, lean in to those relationships, because that's how God created us, to be in relationship with others and to be in relationship with him. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 5:2 says, live a life filled with love. Filled with love. That means you can't add anything else to it, but lead a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Or these words from John 13:25. Your love for one another, and we talked last week that there are more than 50 one another's in Scripture. Well, if there are more than 50 one another's in Scripture, that is pretty clear that God has wired us to be in relationship with one another. So we need to be with one another. And so your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So last week we set this up. If you didn't have a chance to hear it, we'd encourage you to go listen online to just kind of continue to build on this idea of how do we walk with others in our relationship with God through the wilderness. But today we're going to talk about how do we walk through the wilderness with God. How do we walk through the wilderness with God? And here's what I propose to you. The only way to walk through the wilderness, to come out successful, to come out on the other side, to come out stronger in our relationship with God, the only way to walk through the wilderness is to walk by faith. By faith. That it is important, though, to distinguish between faith and feelings, between faith and feasting. As a matter of fact, I believe it's absolutely critical for us to understand the distinction between faith and feelings, because our faith is deeper than our feelings. Our faith will not let us down, but our feelings will, actually almost all the time. And so we've got to understand, if we're going to walk with God in the wilderness, we have to make sure that we're doing that by faith. Because here's the lie. Here's the lie that somewhere we have either bought into or we just think it on our own, that we think that if we feel close to God, he must be close. And likewise, if we feel distant, he must be distant. You have probably felt that, right? That you feel like if you're like really, if you're far away from God, then God is far away from you. We believe that. But it's not true. Because the truth is, our feelings have nothing to do. I just want to make sure you're right. Can you say nothing? They have nothing to do with whether or not God is with us. So, it's not that God is closer or distant. He is with us. We just might not feel it. And so our feelings, while they are important, they are actually a bad indicator of where we are. Because we have all like increased or exaggerated sometimes our feelings, right? Have you ever found yourself saying, well, I'm the only one, or no one has ever been, or life is just so hard for me, or we can exaggerate. You'd be like, I'm all alone. We have found ourselves saying that, haven't we? I don't believe that's true. I believe we're alone because we've chosen to be alone. There's nobody that's not gone through what we're going through. It's just that we got to lean into these relationships so we can be with other people and we can be in the position where God can speak to us. Because see, if we listen to our feelings, we will often fail to move forward with God. If we listen to those feelings and we think, well, God's not here. I don't feel him. He's uncare. He's not active in this. There's just no way out. All too often, that will determine the trajectory in which we move ourselves. And so we, as a people of faith, we've got to ground who we are in faith, not in our feelings. Again, because there's going to be lots of times where our feelings are not going to be true. Yes, we feel them, but no, they're not a great indicator of where we really are, especially when it comes to the wilderness. Because, see, God has these amazing promises for us that we're going to talk about today. But to set that up, we have this one from Hebrews 13:5, where God says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Because see, actually, walking by faith is when we cannot figure out all the time what God is doing or what God has done. And that requires us to walk by faith, to have that assurance that God can be trusted, that he will make a way for us. Like the song that we sing often, he will make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. That God provides that as we lean in, as we lean into others and as we lean into him. So today, two big points I want to share with you about walking with God through the wilderness so that we can get to the other side, so that we can come out stronger in our relationship with God than we were before we went into the wilderness, so we can see what it is that God might want to use that experience to teach us or to shore us up or to make us stronger. And the first is this: by faith, we trust in God's promises. This is a choice we make, because faith in and of itself is a choice. Faith requires an object. And as believers, our faith is placed in Jesus. And so we don't trust our feelings, but we choose to place our faith in God. And so by faith, we trust in God's promises. So here's what this tells us: that even faith is a decision we make, even if we don't have all the answers. Can you imagine what it must have been like again for Moses? He didn't have all the answers. He didn't know exactly when he was going to get there. He didn't even know the route. God just says, I'll lead you. Pillar of fire, cloud, I'll just lead you. And he just went. When God called Abraham to reveal himself to the nation, God just calls Abraham and says, okay, come with me. And Abraham dropped everything and just followed, because he just trusted. He just trusted, even if he didn't have all the answers. See, Paul tells us in Romans 8:28 that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to the purposes for him. Doesn't mean that everything that happens to us is good. But what it does promise us is that we who are in faith, that God can use that stuff to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his promises and his purpose. We also recognize that faith is the decision that we make in spite of our feelings. It is a decision that we make in spite of our feelings. We would actually call that like a discipline or a choice. It's like, I don't feel it, but I'm still going to do it. I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray anyways. I don't feel like reading the Bible, but I'm going to read the Bible anyways. I don't feel like going to church in the morning, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church in the morning. I don't feel like serving, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve. I'm just going to do it. Because there's a lot of times, let's be true though, how many of you on Monday morning, your alarm goes off and you're like, oh, I don't feel like going to church. I mean, going to, yeah. Sunday morning. Monday, how many of us do that, right? Like our alarm goes off and like, oh, I don't feel like going to work today. And if you called your boss and said, hey, Joe, I just don't feel like it today. What would Joe say? Well, you know what? I don't feel like you either. So have a great life, right? Unless you have an amazing boss. I don't know anybody who's like that. But it's a choice that we make, right? It's a decision that in spite of our feelings, we go to work because we got to go to work, right? Or we stay connected in relationships When I do premarital counseling for folks who come to me who want to get married, I tell them, I just want to assure you, there are going to be those days where you're going to look over at the other one and go like, oh, I don't like you today. But you choose to stay in it because you choose to love them, because you choose, like faith, to stay with it. So faith is a decision that we make in spite of our feelings. And see, here's a promise that God says, is that for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You said nothing a few minutes ago. Would you say everything? Everything. Everything through Christ who gives us the strength. So when we don't feel like it, we can do it because he gives us the strength that we need. And then faith is a decision that we make to rise above our fears. A decision that we make to rise above our fears. I can't think of anybody biblically who exemplifies this more than in the Old Testament, the story of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Daniel always gets like the top billing. But he's got three of his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were just like Daniel. They were three of Judah's brightest and best. They were three of the guys that King Nebuchadnezzar like pulled out of Judah, and his goal was to Babylonianize them because it's like, hey, if we can get them, we can get everybody else. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like Daniel said, there are things that we're going to do and there are things that we're not going to do. There are negotiables and non-negotiables with our faith. And one of the things that they said was a non-negotiable for them was that they decided, we are never going to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar. As a matter of fact, King Nebuchadnezzar made this huge gold statue that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And he issued this decree that said, okay, anytime you hear music playing, turn and bow. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, somebody turned him in. Somebody turned him in and said, hey, those three of those guys that you brought from Judah, they're not bowing down. And so King Nebuchadnezzar calls him in and says, you will bow down to me. As a matter of fact, when chapter 3 we read, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, here's what their faith told them. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, because that's what Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow down to me, then you're gonna burn. And as a matter of fact, the fire is going to be so hot that like some of his guys even got close to the fire and they got fried. So he's like, if you don't bow down, we're going to toss you in the fire. And he says, well, no, it's non-negotiable for us. We're not bowing down because our faith says, even yet, we're not going to do it. And listen to what they say. They say to Nebuchadnezzar, I love this. They say to the king, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it perfectly clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. That's a faith decision, isn't it? You can do whatever you want, but I'm not going to do this. Or we see it in the life of Habakkuk, one of the prophets of the Old Testament. Habakkuk looked around and saw all the devastation, all the evil that was going on. And he's crying out to God. And he's like, God, why is this happening? And ultimately, he knows the answer is because the Israelites had been so disobedient. This wasn't one of those cases where they were in the wilderness most because of what others did to them. They were really in the wilderness because of what they did to themselves. But God continued to raise up prophets to call his people back. And at one point in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk cries out to God. And he's just like, why is all this happening? Why is all this happening? And this is what he decides. This is the Habakkuk version of Daniel. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet, can you say yet? Yeah. You know what? That's a powerful word. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation, because he made the decision to rise above his fears. He made the decision of faith to say, I'm still going to trust in my God. Even though I can't see it, even though I can't feel it, even though I don't know what's going on, I'm going to rise above. And I believe that's what God calls us to do. Even when we don't see it, feel it, touch it, taste it, experience it. To trust in God's promises. Because faith is a decision to trust in the truthfulness of God's word. Why do you believe this? Why do we believe this? It was written 2,000 years ago. Over multiple continents, over multiple years, by multiple authors. Why do we believe this? Why do we believe that this is the authority of God? Why do we believe that this is true? Because we choose to. Because we place our trust in the and our faith in the God behind this word. Is that we decide, we choose to say it's true. We make a decision to trust in the truthfulness of God's word. And he has some amazing promises for us of walking through the wilderness. He says in Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So God says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And we have to decide to do that. So if we lean in and we lean into the trust that we choose for God and his promises, that's going to pull us through the other side. Stronger in our relationship with him and stronger in our relationship with others. So by faith, we trust in God's promises. When I was going through a particularly difficult season of my life, there was a verse from Deuteronomy and Joshua that just kept coming up over and over again. It says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged because I'm with you. And sometimes that's the best I got, that I just got to remind myself. As a matter of fact, I put it on post-it notes and put it in my car, put it on my mirror, put it in my office, put it everywhere. Because I needed to hear that voice. I needed to see those words where God says, trust me. So by faith, we trust in God's promises. And number two, by faith, we walk in God's presence. Now, that might sound like, well, we always do that. We'd actually choose to position ourselves often where we're not really walking in the presence of God. Yes, he is always with us. He's always, but we are the ones who position ourselves. God's always there, but we are the ones who position ourselves that we can be closer to God or further away from God. God just keeps moving with us, but we just keep moving away sometimes. Well, we got to be the people who walk in God's presence. You know, sometimes the presence of God comes upon us suddenly and unexpectedly. Going through a wilderness experience and you're just like, God's here. I just feel it. I know it. Somebody said something to me. Somebody did something for me. Or it's just that feeling, that place, and it transcends feeling as a bad word, that assurance that God is just with us. You know, they're like, I know God's with me. I know he is with me. Because sometimes he just knows what we need. And it's like he pushes that presence button. And he's like, I know George needs to like experience more of that with me right now. So we're going to get that. Because see, Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, be sure of this. Be sure of it. Be sure of it. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Be sure of it. I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. So we walk in God's presence. Sometimes it's sudden and unexpected, but sometimes, and this is a decision part, this is a place where we probably need to spend just a couple more minutes, a little bit more time on, because other times we need to be way more intentional about purposefully seeking God in his presence. We have to be much more intentional, purposeful in seeking the presence of God. And generally, it's because we have positioned ourselves that makes that tougher. We start missing worship. We stop praying as much. We stop reading God's word. We don't find a place to serve. We stop giving. We start listening to other voices saying, hey, Sunday morning, why don't you? Or get us to do stuff during the week that sets us up to make Sundays difficult. That's just one example, but we have to purposefully and intentionally figure out ways to seek God and his presence. I love the story of Joshua. You know, Joshua was Moses' successor, right? Joshua and Caleb were the two who went and spied the promised land and like, hey, with God we can take it. But they were the minority report. The other 10 witnesses said, it's too much. And so they decided to rally together, and like then they went on this 40-year journey. But Joshua gets chosen to be Moses' successor. Listen to these words. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people. I can just imagine him going, oh, great. It's not in here. I just added that. The Israelites across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you and I will not abandon you. But then he gives us instructions. This is for Joshua to purposefully, intentionally make sure he's seeking the Lord. He says, be strong and courageous. It's a command, by the way. For you are the one who will lead these people to the land and to possess all the land I have swore to their ancestors and I would give them. Be strong and very courageous, says it again. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. See the connection? Study the book of law, study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed. And here it comes again. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. So he is telling Joshua, make sure you purposefully seek me. Make sure you intentionally spend time, even when you don't feel like it, with me. Make sure you are meditating on God's word so you will know it, so it literally will just spill out of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I am with you. So he's giving him these instructions that he needs to purposefully and intentionally cultivate his relationship with God. That's walking in the presence of God. Some of the early church fathers refer to it as practicing the presence of God, meaning that we do things that intentionally position ourselves to be with God. And it hasn't changed in more than 2,000 years. We got to do the same thing. We purposefully spend time in God's word. We purposefully pray. We purposefully serve. We purposefully give. We purposefully worship. We purposefully are in relationship with others who will build us up so we can do the one another that God's word has called us to do. Because here's what I believe. Sometimes seeking and experiencing God's presence requires more than just setting aside a time and a place to be alone with him, although that is important. It requires us to work diligently to clear our hearts and our minds of all the attitudes and emotions that impede us from experiencing his presence. So what does that mean? It means that we have to be so purposeful about this relationship that we have with God, because it is a relationship. If you are not purposefully intentional in your relationship with your spouse or others, what happens to that relationship? It is the exact same thing, because we have a God who's relational, that we have to be with God. We have to be with God's people so that we can be built up, so that we can experience the fullness of who God is. And that is especially so important for us in the wilderness experiences of life. Because if we try to go it alone, we will be trying to choose my word. We will hopefully come out on the other side. If we do it with God and with others, doesn't mean that we're going to get the answers that we want, but we will come out on the other side stronger in our relationship with him and relationship with others. So when we walk in the wilderness, don't go alone. When you walk through the wilderness experiences of life, lean in. You get so tired of hearing me say that phrase. Lean in. Lean in to God's people and lean in to God's presence, because that will carry us through the wilderness to the other side, where we'll be stronger, more confident, and our relationship with God will be strengthened to the place where the next wilderness that we experience, we're going to go into it stronger, depending greater on God.